Of course, not just pugs, but chihuahuas as well, inevitably.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think we shouldn't discriminate against breeds.
I love all dogs. Yeah.
Yep.
I love my dog, Cat Stevens, there. Of course, Yusuf Islam. All right, Tallulah Rendell is engaged on another call, but we thought we'd actually go into the tune we're going to feature from The Banshee and the Moon this week, which is Shine On. Are you ready for that, James?
I am indeed.
You
hit
ready
it.
For that, Gabriella?
I'm ready.
Why would I wish to hit it? What
purpose
would
button.
I wish to hit? Why? Yeah, we're not violent on that basis.
Slam it on.
Punch it.
Okay, then.
Let go to the calling in your heart, the feelings you know. Let your love shine on.
Natural Tallulah Rendell, that would be, with From the Match in the Moon, Shine On. What did you make of that one, James?
Yeah, I really liked it. That's one of her songs from the album that we listened to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
that
we will
ago.
Continue to listen to.
Yeah, I'd
and
say.
Normally would connect with Tallulah to actually connect, but you know, for some reason, she's on another call. We're sorting through what these things happen. What did you make of it, Gabriella?
Yeah, I really liked it. Mm. Yeah, it was very nice.
It's profound in every sense of the word. Almost as profound as the gentleman who normally joins us at 20 past 8 on a Thursday morning. Oh, it's very confusing because he's actually off to Spain, not Athens, as some idiot said last week, you know. Athens is very long. Who might that be, Gabriella?
Richard Fitzwilliams.
Legendary Richard Fitzwilliams.
The legend himself.
The man, the legend.
The main man, former editor of International Who's Who, royal correspondent for CNN, Al Jazeera, and more. That Richard Fitzwilliams.
Of course. The one and only.
Good evening, Richard. Welcome to the Midweek Drive at
and
2 minutes past 6 o'clock.
And good to be on the programme, albeit on a different day. We move from the superb claustrophobia of that British prison that I was discussing last week in Startup, that contrived piece of Hollywood confectionery, Labor Day, to two films that are, well, I think they're remarkable. Really remarkable.
So not contrived pieces of Hollywood confectionery, then?
There's a scene in Labor Day which I hope you won't bother to see, but if you do and you see Josh Brolin and Kate Winslet bond over a pie.
You don't think Josh Brolin and Kate Winslet can bond? I mean, I thought, wasn't that how Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin got together?
They're breaking up now.
Well, no. They're disconnecting
separated.
Their consciousness.
They're separating.
No. They're disconnecting.
I do agree the language used is truly deplorable. a matter of sensitivity. It's as a press release, somebody's obviously thought it out. It is worldwide news, no question about it. I've always had a soft spot for Gwyneth because, well, she's an honorary Brit, you know, if you think back to Sliding.
She was in this very university.
Emerald.
She was actually at the University of Lincoln, home of Siren FM. No!
When was this?
This was for, not Inspiration, Insurgence, the one-word title, not Divergence either. That's a one-word title, Gwyneth Paltrow. I'll find out by the end of this piece, Richard,
We just shift to Shakespeare in Love, my fondest memories of her, where she was absolutely superb. Do you remember one of the finest campaigns in Hollywood history, when Saving Private Ryan, the favourite, was beaten at the Oscars by Shakespeare in Love, because Harvey Weinstein said, but look, Gwyneth Paltrow plays Romeo, Juliet, Lady Violet, Alessis, and the Master Kent. Look at also bringing the fact that you could have a witty script, which sounds excellent on a small screen as it does on a large, whereas Saving Private Ryan's brilliant effects, obviously when the screen is smaller, with Academy voters seeing screeners, you did have a diminution there of the brilliance, and Shakespeare number one. And, of course, Gwyneth made that famous speech.
Personally, I feel her role as Polly Perkins in Sky Captain of the World of Tomorrow was equivalent to her role as Pepper Potts in the Iron Man series and the Avengers. In
Pepper's
terms of,
rather fun.
Exactly. It's truly wonderful in every sense of the word from that perspective. Anyway, moving on from that line, and allowing for the fact that Phil Leonis has come up with the challenge of saying he's going to reverse and provide an alternate view on everything you actually come through from this. By the way, the movie we were looking for was Possession. It was partly filmed at the University of Lincoln because, of course, the University of Lincoln, when the novel Possession was written, didn't exist. So when they actually built the university, obviously Gwyneth Paltrow, in this very building, actually, she has actually been around. Yeah.
Possession, actually, I have a
You might still see the ghost of Paltrow wandering through.
My confession is that I rather enjoyed Possession, and it got rubbish critically.
It did. 2002 it was. Yeah, many people actually, in fact, there's still a few people actually on campus who were extras. In Possession.
Aww.
Yeah, you could have been an opportunity.
I wish I'd come earlier.
Yeah.
Well,
I was born early.
Yeah. Never mind.
But we're talking, of course, about the past, and that is the title of the film I'm discussing, because Asghar Farhadi is, I think, absolutely remarkable director. I mean, a separations victory at the Oscars for Best Foreign Film. I mean, the facts are he is a superb director because he gives you a story and he looks at it from all the points of view of the participants, and then gradually you get to learn various layers and you build up a picture, and then that can alter or change depending on the perceptions of the individuals. And this is just such a wonderful film, just as with Blue is the Warmest Color, which I thought was a work of genius and has had so many troubles subsequently, I was very drawn into it. So you don't feel you're watching something that's been written in a studio. You feel that you're actually involved and you care about the various characters. Bernice Bejo plays Marie. She's a beautiful French woman, and she's had a very unconventional love life. And her husband has flown over from Iran to sign the divorce papers. She has a new lover, Samir, and also she has a family. Children include Fuad, who's Samir's son, and also the unhappy Lucy. And she's rather hoping that Ahmed, who's close to Lucy, although not his daughter, may be able to help her. What's notable also that Samir's wife is in a hospital in a coma, and we learn more about the situations and more about the characters in a movie.
See, Richard, I'm already thinking it's not Captain America the Winter Soldier, you know, clearly.
This is so subtly handled. It's unobtrusively photographed. You have a home in a Parisian suburb. We don't have the normal Parisian landmarks, which we are going to move on to, by the way, with Yves Saint Laurent, the next film we're discussing. But it's just that Taha Rahim, who is so superb in The Prophet, has this very strong presence. And the top Iranian actor, Ali Mossafer, I hadn't previously seen him in anything, he is also excellent, but both male roles are very, very largely silent, contrasting with the intense emotion which Bernice Bejo, who won a César for her performance as Marie, projects. And Pauline Burley as the vulnerable, unhappy Lucy. We can't give out any spoilers here, because you have to see this film to learn what is affecting the various characters, how it is affecting them, and also some very, very memorable scenes. It's almost invidious to...
I can tell you it has floated your boat, Richard. The title of the movie once again is
The Past.
The Past. Okay, so...
The present is a good time to see The Past when it opens.
Yeah, I know. Will you be going to see The Past on the basis of what we've just heard, James?
I certainly will. I have not been impressed with films recently.
Really?
No.
Okay, Gabriella?
Yeah, I think so, if I go see a film.
Yeah, The Past will be thumbs up. Okay, from The Past on to Yves Saint Laurent and The Next Connection. What have we got here?
The connection here is also Paris, but here the... numerous shots of
We'll always
Paris.
Have it, of course. Paris, that is.
Sorry?
We'll always have Paris.
Oh, we'll always have Paris, but also a thing of beauty. And no question here, this is a handsomely mounted film, but it's also very hard-edged. It's interesting that there are two films being made, just that there were two about Coco Chanel. So the two about Yves Saint Laurent. We haven't seen the second one yet. It's yet to be released, but this is the one which had the blessing of his lover and business partner, Pierre Berger, who is portrayed by Guillaume Gallienne. An absolutely superb performance. rivaled, surpassed, if you like, but they complement each other well, by Pierre Nuni as Eve himself. It's a portrait of a tormented genius, and it's a movie that shows both the beauty of creativity in the fashion shows and the fact he was the first couture designer to make prêt-à-porter, and also that he was so extraordinarily talented. And you also see his bipolar disorder and mental illness is part and parcel of this film. He has an open relationship with Berger, and there's plenty of angst in it. No question that it's a movie which may have hedonistic parties and also remarkable visuals, both of the Parisian boulevards we all love and the landmarks, but also of Morocco where they lived, and it's decadent, it's also often melancholy, and it can be quite tough viewing. There's also a mention, since Yves Saint Laurent's family were settlers in Algeria, of that conflict which so divided France. But there's no question he became a legend. This follows him over many years from the 1950s, and we get an idea why. It's extremely well acted, it's well scripted. Pierre Berger himself is very pleased with the movie, but by no means is it hagiographic. I find it totally involving. I used to cover London Fashion Week, so of course I have an interest in the shows, but it's no mere couture parade. It's got depth.
Decadence and melancholy. Sounds like Life and Times of the University of Lincoln. Only kidding. Gabriella, does this appeal to your good self from the fashion perspective? You saw Laurent?
Yeah, I think it would be quite interesting to find out more. Yeah, I think it would be quite
okay.
Interesting film.
James?
Yeah, I certainly agree. It's always interesting to find the background of something which you just see in popular culture today.
Well, and of course, James, as you've shared with us, you're doing your Once Upon a Time in Hollywood essay on the concept of masculinity in 80s Hollywood movies.
Yeah, indeed I am.
Classics, Richard, just roll some of them off, James, please. Some of these movies that you're investigating.
We have Rocky III.
Rocky III.
Commando.
Conan the Barbarian.
And Red Sonja.
Red Sonja.
Classics.
Do you not think so, Richard? Does that not make any film critic worth their salt salivate?
It makes them salivate in one way or another. And I wish you well with the project. I have to say that were I director Jalil Lesper, who made Yves Saint Laurent, I would prefer this genre, but yours is the one that draws in the audiences. This, of course,
sadly,
is more of an art house movie, but what will give it, I think, what I hope, pretty wide box office appeal is the fact that everyone with any interest in fashion has heard of the legend that was Yves Saint Laurent. There's no question. I mean, a film like Dealing with Fahadi, I mean, a separation, once it started winning awards, it brought in audiences, and his previous film, All About Ellie, which was very good and thoughtful, in a week, a separation had grossed more than that ever did. And so it's, you know, word of mouth is so important, and also social media to spread the word with some of these films. Rocky III has no such problems.
Beg to differ, but never mind. The Past, obviously, is the first choice, and your second choice, once again, Richard, was?
Was Yves Saint Laurent.
Just Yves Saint Laurent, that's it. And it's YVESSTLAURENT, in case you just want to be the completist. Last two questions for Richard Fitzwilliams, please, Gabriella.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Richard?
I have indeed.
And will you be connecting with us again, hopefully, once you're back from Spain?
Yes, I shall be describing some of its glories, and also we'll be catching up with some more new movies. I hope by the week after to have seen Noah, because I regret I will have missed both previews, but the thought of Russell Crowe trying to get an audience...
Noah, the
tweets
Ark.
To the Pope.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, the thought of that, if only they had met. I mean, there's a comedy to be filmed and made.
Well, buddy genre?
Yeah, I think so. I think buddy genre and disaster movie genre. I wonder if he strokes the sort of the waters as he stroked his piece in Gladiator.
The only Noah I've ever seen was John Huston in the Bible, and that movie made Sodom and Gomorrah extremely boring.
There we are. And on that bombshell, which, you know, carries a whole range of pieces of Hollywood left, right and centre, from melancholy and indeed the notion of decadence as well, we hand over to Brian May.
This song was written by an old friend of mine in the old days of Queen touring, years and years and years and years ago. We used to tour about 9 months of the year, and most of it in America. And we had a band with us called Kansas. Fantastic guys from Kansas, of course. And they did a lot of very up-tempo stuff, but they did also beautiful ballads, and this is one of them. It's called Dust in the Wind.
I close my eyes only for a moment, then the moment's gone. All my dreams pass before my eyes, a curiosity dust in the wind. Everything is dead.
Up to the level of a Tallulah Randall number, that really. Brian May and Carrie Ellis with their performance of Dust in the Wind. And you may gather from that that we have just about been able to connect with Tallulah. For a moment we thought, you know, we cannot call you because the person is engaged on another telephone call. We thought we all sorts of other strategic things could be happening there. We couldn't pass on the line from Penny Evans, who actually would like to say, just heard your song, Let Your Love Shine on Midweek Drive. Beautiful, she says. Beautiful. There we are. That's Penny Evans. And I'm sure you'd also like to wish Penny luck for the fact that she's actually, she was singing in the competition in Chesterfield. She got through to the semi-finals. And she basically wants us to all wish her luck again for another song that she's actually singing in this weekend, I believe. So shall we say good luck to Penny Evans?
Good luck, Penny.
Fantastic. So, Tal, how's life and how is the build-up to the grand event coming? We were speaking the first hour to Jerry Anderson's fabulous son, Jamie Anderson, about Andacon. This is even more exciting, equally exciting, let's say, in terms of this, because, of course, it's the official unveiling of The Banshee and the Moon. Gabriella, you were thumbs up as far as the tune Shine On was concerned.
Yeah, it was, really. Well, I'd like to ask a question. It's basically... Yeah. What are you doing to prepare, I think? Because your gigs are starting about 2 months. So it's just really what you're doing.
I mean, I'm an independent artist and I run my own label. And so I kind of have this beautiful freedom to come up with however I want to present my albums or launch my albums, and which is great. But it does also mean that I kind of inevitably take on more than is probably healthy. And so for this release, I basically have a 4-day exhibition, and I'm curating the exhibition. So the last month has been fairly frantic, just getting the actual book to print. The album's released as a book, and each of the songs is represented by a piece of art, and the book itself narrates the story of crowdfunding and then the stories behind the songs themselves. So that's kind of been going on, and then there's a whole kind of practical side of it's an interactive exhibition, and each of the pieces of art is on exhibit, and then there's a sort of interactive element to it, which has, of course, also got to be curated. So that's kind of all kind of doing it. It's kind of a tangent thing. And then at the same time, I've got to sort out the sound engineer and the PA and lighting and then get it out into the world. So the whole kind of marketing stuff, making sure that press come down and it's busy and there's booze, and I've managed to get a vodka sponsor, two vodka sponsors, one called Dip Smith and one called Chase Vodka, so yay, big up them.
Well, absolutely.
So at some point I need to just get back to the music and start kind of rehearsing, but that's kind of, at the moment I've just got this kind of hurdle of stuff that I'm sort of wading through. So that's my preparation will actually probably musically will kind of start in the next couple of weeks, as soon as I've kind of got the bulk of the project done.
That, Tallulah, is of course why we refer to you as a Renaissance woman. Rebecca Hossack Art Gallery presents Tallulah Randall, The Banshee in the Moon exhibition, book launch and seated nightly performances, taking place when, once again?
28th, 29th, 30th and 31st of May.
28th, 29th, 30th and 31st of May. Mm. On one of those, probably I think 20th, anyway, one of those will definitely be there. I've sorted through from that. So at least part of the Midweek Drive press package for Siren FM will be working, because I'm also due to deliver an academic paper at the University of East Anglia. And one of those things is all about the workings of Michael Moorcock. Anyway, life continues. Too much information in many ways there. James, any questions or thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, well, I think it's clear to everyone that you obviously put so much sort of time and compassion in your music, and sort of not just your music, but sort of how you represent it. I think we discussed your record cover, where you had the free MP3 download. I was wondering, sort of, what do you think about the state of popular music, where it's just
If I can translate, Tal, is there any chance of you getting together with Dizzy Rascal or indeed the Rizzle Kicks Boys in the near future?
I'd probably have to Google who they are. That's my answer to that.
You don't know. Well, Tiny Temper, whatever.
Tiny Temper, I know who Tiny Temper is. You know what? Now that this whole project's kind of going to print, it's kind of unleashed this creative. The writing creativity again, which is great because I haven't been writing very much over the last year. And now that this album is kind of going out into the world, I've started, you know, writing the next album. And actually, I really want to collaborate with this next record, because I've kind of gone from one extreme of, you know, working with someone like Marius DeVries and doing this super kind of big record, and then recording with a band and it all being live, and then doing this record where it was just me in a studio playing everything on the record. And I kind of have a real sense of where I'm at as a songwriter and where my limitations are and where my kind of strengths are. And I kind of feel like I'm now, with kind of all that experience, I'm ready to kind of meet with someone and kind of go into the studio and really take the record, the next record, to the next level. It's kind of what I feel like I'm doing, yeah.
It's clearly time that we actually sort of had you back up in Lincoln, but that'll happen, I'm sure, in all sorts of ways. So great stuff there. Gabriella, last two questions for Tallulah Randall before we wrap up with Eyes.
Ooh. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have indeed, and I'm so sorry that it took me so long to get through to you.
No, it was actually the reverse of the whole thing. We were trying to reach you. In the end, we thought telepathy, whatever. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
And will you be connecting us again, hopefully in the near future?
2 weeks' time.
Looking forward to it.
And just in case you're sort of wondering, we're not talking about eyes to the right, nose to the left, etc. We're not even talking about eye, as in a kind of rizzle kick sort of way. It is Tallulah Randall. Would you like to introduce it? It's another classic. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Over to you, Tal.
Yeah, this song is called Eyes, and it's basically the story of reminding yourself to trust that you have everything you need within you to find the answers to all those questions that life presents you.
There's a beauty in this light, there's a beauty in your soul.